Okay, so the topic that we'll discuss tonight is a very, very sensitive topic, and that is Gneivas Das and Onan Shiduchim. People have something wrong with them. How much do they have to tell? How much can they withhold? And we'll see the various cases, what the poskim say, based on the sugya. So, the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Ayin Hey says, we know that there's an issue in the Torah called Psua Daka. Psua Daka, the Gemara says, Ezu Psua Daka, called Shenipsu Beitzim Shelo. If a person has his testicles crushed, he's called the Psua Daka, Vafilo Achas Mehen. Even if only, I'm just quoting the Gemara in Ayin Hey, even if one of his testicles are crushed, so then he's a Psua Daka. So now, obviously this is a very big shot of Chak, to say that a person cannot marry into the Kol. And there are many different shahs when it comes to Psua Daka, and it's a shas of chak. Whenever you have a shas of chak, you look for kulas. And the maisa, without getting into all the pratim, if a person had a sickness, and due to that sickness, the doctors cut out his left testicle. It wasn't crushed, it was a sickness, and then the doctors cut it out. So, based on a few tseirufin, the halacha is that we permit him to marry into the kol. That's the case. Now, however, even though we're permitting him to marry into the kol, is he mechuyav to tell any prospective shidduch that he is in fact someone who is permitted b'shas hadchak, who has his left testicle cut out? Or do we say, well, what's the heck going to help him if he has to tell every person that he goes out with, by the way, I don't have a left testicle, it's probably not going to go too far. So that is question number one. Similar question is that it says in Eben Ezer and Dalad Yud Gimel, Haba me'anida, afa fisha hipagum, if a person came from a lady who, when she had relations, she was anida, even though he's pagum, there's something wrong with him, there's something spiritually wrong with him, ain't a mamzer, he's not a mamzer, afilo midrabban, and that's the chiddush, even though normally from a chiyav kares, from an erva, the kid would be a mamzer, but when it comes to anida, that's an exception to the rule, and it's not even a mamzer drabbanan. However, the Darkei Moshe says over there, the Ramah says, "Hu pagum ve'ein mishpachto miyuchas v'royal aharchik mehem," and it's kedai to distance yourself from them. "Aval eino pagum mikoach iser ukshei rapil kahuna," technically permitted even to a kohen. However, royal aharchik mehem, and therefore, you can ask the same question, is a ben hanida or a bas nida mechuyev to tell their prospective shidduch that they are a ben or bas nida before they proceed? So let's get into the Gemara that I gave out over here on Daf Mem Hei. The Gemara says the following. Start from Dechiyata Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abu Dimi, Mishum Rabbeinu, Amru, Ovi Kochan Ve'Eved Abba Abbas Yisrael Abad Mamsa. The first shita says that if a guy has relations with a Jewish lady and they produce a child, the kid's a mamzer. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omer, Havlad Mekulkel. He's messed up. Now what does it mean he's messed up? Lamas. Ilema lekahal. If you say that he's messed up, that he cannot marry a Jewish person, Ha'amar Rabbi Yeshua Havlad Kasher. It's not true, because he holds that the kid is kasher to marry into the kahal. El lekahuna. It means he cannot marry, or we'll see who the he is, the he or a she, but you can't marry into the kahuna. So we have two shitas so far. One is if a guy has relations with a Jewish lady, the kid is a mamzer. The second one is that it's mekulkel the kahuna, but you're allowed to marry a regular Jew. So, the kulu amoraim, the mashri, all the amoraim hold that the kid is kasher, modu shavlad pagum le kahuna, agree that the kid is pagum for kahuna, he is forbidden to kahuna, mikavachomer me'almana, because there's a kavachomer from an almana who has relations with a kohen gadol. Ma'almana le'kohen gadol she'in isura shavu b'kol. If by an almana le'kohen gadol with an isur specific to a kohen gadol, which shows that it's a lesser isur, yet bina pagum, yet the kid becomes forbidden to kahuna. Zu she'isura shavu b'kol eino din she'bina pagum. So certainly over here, where it's an isser, which is to everybody, no one is permitted to have relations with a guy. Certainly, bina pagum. Now, the literal translation of bina pagum is the son is pagum. Now, if you look at Rashi, she bina pagum lav davka. That which it says bina pagum is lav dafka. The hapshita, because it's obvious, ben ha'ovedes kochavim lav kohen hu. The kid who comes, the boy who comes from a father as a guy is certainly not a kohen, because kohen is determined by the father. Ve'imishum delo yisa kahenes, and if you're going to say that which it says bina pagum, it means you can't marry a kahenes, a girl who's the daughter of a kohen, came at the mutter be Israelis, since he's permitted to marry a regular Jewish, mutter nami b'kahenes, you're allowed to marry the daughter of a kohen as well. She'ein kedusha b'nashim, because the whole concept of kedushas kahuna is only by males, it's not by females. Da'afiluk sheros mutaros l'psulim, even kasher daughters of kohanim are permitted to marry psulim. De'kaimel on lohuzruk sheros milinasi l'psulim. Ela mishum bita nakat dimtele bas psula l'kahuna. Says Rashi, when it says over here bina pagum, it does not mean bina pagum, because it has no nafkamina lagabia ben. It only has a nafkamina lagabia bas. If the child of the Jewish lady who had relations with a guy is a daughter, then that daughter cannot marry a kohen. But if it would be a son, so then it has no nafkamina, because to marry a kahenes, the kahenes is allowed to marry a pasul, so it had no nafkamina. Now, the Ramban disagrees with this. The Ramban says it does have a nafkamina even by a ben. Because the Ramban says, even though the ben himself doesn't have any restrictions, but if the ben would now have a daughter, then that daughter would not be permitted to marry a kohen. So the machlokes Rashi and the Ramban, we'll see how it's very nagel later on. Rashi learns once the child is a ben, it's over. There's nothing to talk about. It won't transfer to the daughter. Once the ben didn't have any restrictions, then the daughter also would be permitted to marry a kohen. Well, the Rabban holds that even though the ben himself can marry whoever he wants, but if he has a daughter, it was then that pagam will transfer to the daughter, and she won't be able to marry a kohen. So now we have two shitas. One shita is the kid is a mamzer, and one is pagam l'kohun. So then the Gemara challenges, maybe it's not a Kal v'chomer. Then the Gemara says it is a Kal v'chomer. So we can just read that quickly. Gemara says, Mala Mala Kohen Gadosh Kein Hi Atma Mechalalas. She herself becomes Mechalalas, that she no longer would be permitted to marry a Kohen. Hakanami Kema Shenivala Pasla. A Jewish girl who has relations with a guy is now Pasla Kahuna. Any Jewish girl who has relations with a guy is now forbidden to marry a kohen, or if she's a bas kohen, she would no longer be able to be truma and the like. And it says then, when she becomes an amanah, she goes back to eating truma from her father. It's only when the person she was with was someone that you become an almana from, or you become divorced from. Yatru oveid kochavim ve'eved she'ein lam almana v'gerushin, but there it's not shayach a marriage in the first place. So if she had relations with such a person, she's totally removed from any connection to kahuna, which of course is a very big problem with Baal Teshuva, because we know in our day and age that by the time they went through college, and certainly probably even high school, they've already had relations, and more often than not, it's even with a guy, and now they're stuck. They cannot marry a kohen. It limits who they can marry. I know a girl who was just about to marry a kohen, and she found out she wasn't allowed, and she ended up going off the dark. She couldn't handle it. But that's a common problem. Anyway, says the Gemara further. Amalei Abaye, now here's the key point. Amalei Abaye, my chazis de samchas ad Rav Dimi. Abaye said to Rav Yosef, that's based on the previous discussion. Who told you to go like Rav Dimi, who forbids? Smoke ad Ravin. Be somech and Ravin. Dechiyata Ravin, Amar Rav Nassan. Amar Rav Nassan, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Morim Bala Hatera. They permit. Uman Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi. Now, here we can ask the question, when it says Mora Bala Hatera, when they say that it's permitted, do they mean permitted and it's not a mamzer and it can marry into the kol, but it's still Pagum Kahuna? Or are they saying there's no restrictions at all? When it says Mora Bala Hatera, we already said that we had two sheets. One sheet was that the child cannot marry into the kol at all. The second shita was, you can marry into the kal, but pagam le kahuna. You can't marry into the kahuna. So when it says over here that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was makel, does it mean he was makel on the first count, or was he even makel on the second count? That did not even a pagam le kahuna. Well, no, it's the whole hemshek in the Gemara from before, but you'll see. I only marked a piece, but this we'll see as a machlokas rishonim. So Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi, Amar." Yeah. So, "Mar b'alatev, Amar Rabbi Nazir Rabbi, ba'af Rab Mar Rabba hetera." Dahuda asla kamei de Rab came in front of Rab. Amalei ovek kochamim ve'evet abba abbas Yisrael mahu. What's the din? Amalo hablad kosher. So Amalei, they said, "Then havli bratech." Well, if the kid is kosher, so let me marry your daughter. Lo yahib nilach. No. Amar simi barchi al rav amri inshi. People will say, gamla b'madai akava rakta, a camel in Madai, a big camel in Madai dances on a small, with its four legs, is able to dance on a small measurement of kav. In other words, you're performing. You just gave a psak. So hakava v'hagamla v'hamadei below rakta. Here you have all the. You should come and dance. You mean you gave the psak and go follow your psak. Show what you're made of. So Gemara says, Amalei e havik Yeshua benun lo yahipnele brati. Even if he would be like Yeshua benun, I wouldn't give my daughter to him. Amalei e havik Yeshua benun. If he would be like Yeshua benun, e malo yavlei. If you wouldn't give him your daughter, Achrini Yabila, he would have no problem getting Shiduchim. Yeshua ben Nun would be a very hot prospect. But hi, this guy, Imar lo Yavile, Achrini lo Yavile. Listen, if you don't give him your daughter, this guy's not getting a Shiduch. Bahavi ka'azl mikame. The guy would not let up. Yayv be'ene, he put his eyes on him, v'shachiv, and he died. Which Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains at Chagiga. And they have this similar thing, and that Vavim Chagiga. Doesn't mean that he looked at him thinking, I'm going to kill him with the evil eye. It means that when a chacham looks at you in a way, even he didn't try to kill him, he just had a tain on him, and when a chacham has a tain on you, it's dangerous. And the guy actually died from it. V'afrav master morabal lehetera, he also permitted. V'afrav Yehuda morabal lehetera. D'chi asa lekamed Rav Yehuda, listen to this, when such a person came in front of Rav Yehuda, a person who came from a union of a Jewish girl, with a guy, Amalei, Zil Itmar. Now Rashi says, Lech b'makam sholak yiruka. Go to a place where they don't know you. Over here, you're not getting a shidduch. Here in Tinek, no one wants to marry the guy whose father's a guy. So go somewhere else, they don't know who you are. Put on a hat, go pay us, they won't know who you are. And b'sar bat Yisrael, and you'll be able to marry bat Yisrael, she'ilu yakiruka, if they would know you, lo yitnula. Right? So he said, go and I hold your mutter. But here you're not getting a shidduch. Oh, not the bas minach. I'll marry someone who's similar to you who won't have a problem with that. So, as I mentioned, when all these people are being machshir, so I mentioned, you could say, are they being machshir lekahal, but still forbidden the kahuna, or are they even saying that it's permitted the kahuna? So, the Rush says, it has to be that they're only being machshir lekahal. But everyone agrees that you're possibly kahuna. Why do you have to say that everyone agrees that you're pasul kahuna? Because the Gemara had a kavachomer. Kavachomer me'aman. It's a kavachomer. We didn't have any way to answer up to kavachomer. And therefore, it has to be that they're only permitting her lakahol, but they're not permitting lakahuna. However, the Ramban says, no. It has to be that they are permitting even lakahuna. How do you get out of the kavachomer? All right, Rishon talking about how you can get out of the kavachomer. But what's his raya that they must be permitting even l'kahuna? Because if they're not permitting even l'kahuna, then how can, in this last case, Rabbi Yehuda say, go to a place where they don't know you? What's going to happen if they don't know you? They're going to think that you're a regular, full-fledged Yisrael who has no restrictions, right? So you will marry a girl, you'll have a daughter, and then that daughter might marry a Kohen. But that daughter will be permitted to a Kohen. So it must be that they're saying that you're even permitted to a Kohen. Because if the Isser to Kahuna remains. So then if he goes somewhere and gets a shidduch with a regular Bas Yisrael, and the kid is a daughter, then that daughter would be forbidden to Kahuna, and how could he give such a psak? Because it might cause someone to do an Isser. Elamai, it must be that there's no restrictions, even the Kahuna. So, the Rashba points out that the Rush and the Ramban are the Shitasa. Because the Rush was like Rashi, that there is no restriction that passes over to the daughter. And therefore, there wouldn't be any Kshash that the kid would, that the kid, if it's a daughter, would be forbidden the Kahuna. Because once there's no problem with the son, there's no problem with the subsequent daughter. While the Ramban is Lashitase, that it passes over, if there would be a restriction, Laguna would pass through to the daughter. So if they're letting him go and hide and marry, even though the daughter might go marry a Kohen, it must be that there's no restrictions with Kahuna. Okay? No, according to Ramban, it's the same thing. The Ramban is saying, if by a boy we let you do it, then it must be there's no issue. But according to the Rush, it would only help for a boy and not for a girl. Because the Rush holds, there's still a restriction of the Kahuna. But by a boy, there's never a restriction of the Kahuna, as Rashi said before.
And it's because the daughter, there's no restriction because she's the daughter.
But if this person would be a girl, then the Rush would have a problem. So I'm saying right now, the Ramban is saying, those who are makel over here hold that there's no restrictions at all, even the Kahuna, right? Because if there were, how could you let the boy do it, because his subsequent daughter would be forbidden. Elamai, there's no Isser. But the Rush holds, no. There's never an Isser on the boy to Kahuna. It's only Nogea to a girl. So what, and it doesn't pass over to the next generation. So now, on Amud Beis, the Gemara comes out, the Gemara says, V'hilchasa akum v'eved haba abad Yisrael avlad kasher. It says the kid is kosher. And the Rabban says, it's not clear in the Gemara, it doesn't mean kosher. Do we pass him like the Madamer who says, kosher totally, like he holds as a Madamer? It doesn't mean kosher l'kol, but not kosher l'kahuna. So he says, since it's a suffix, you shouldn't do it. It's a suffix, because it might be puzzle. And therefore, we wouldn't be able to go with this psak on Memhei, where he says, zil itmar. Because according to Rabban, zil itmar is only good if you hold kosher l'kahuna. And the Rabban is saying, we're not sure of halacha. But according to Rush, you could go with the halacha. Because even though pasul l'kahuna, it's only nogea to a girl, it's not nogea to a boy. And therefore, according to the Rush, the way the Rush paskins, this is halacha l'maisa. This is halacha l'maisa. If a kid is the son of a non-Jewish man with a girl, he can go hide somewhere. They don't want to give him shidduchim over here. He can go somewhere where they don't know him, and he can present himself as a full-fledged Israel. And even though they would not give him a shidduch had he said his true background, he's allowed to do such a thing. And that's how we pass, he's allowed to do such a thing. So now here's the million-dollar question. All the poskim ask this question, and that is, that's very nice that he's permitted to marry into the kol, but this is, oh no, this is cheating, this is gnevas das. Now you're allowed to do such a thing. That says, the Rush says in Chulin, Rush says in Chulin, if I make a business deal with you, so there's a mum. It's a common mum. So we don't say that. Well, if I was so concerned about the mum, I should have said something. By the way, if there's a mum, you better tell me. No. I, the buyer, could be somek on the pasuk. She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avlo. Jews do not act crooked. And if there's a mum, it's on the mocher to be megala, to tell the lokeach there's a mum. And the lokeach, if he doesn't tell him, then he's cheating him. So certainly over here, that's even by a common mum where you could say that the lokeach should have realized that it's there. So, and I shouldn't be megala. But even there, the Rush says you have to be megala. So certainly over here, like some girl is supposed to know that this guy, his father is a guy without him telling us. So what right does he have to go hide? And not, if people don't want such a person, what right does he have to go ahead and hide this from his prospective shidduch? She has a right to know. He's cheating her. That is the question. So what do we take from this Gemara? This Gemara seems an innocent Gemara, one line, but nageya to so many questions when it comes to the shidduchim, that it seems from here that you're allowed to withhold information, that had you said the information, they would break the shidduch, but I could still withhold it. Now, why in the world am I allowed to do that? If I'm not allowed to do that in business in Choshen Mishpat, because people could say, what's going on over here? You're cheating me. So why, when it comes to shidduchim, which is a thousand times more important, that I'm allowed to do such a thing? Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, my father's a guy. Like, people would be burning mad. So that's the question. So, the Stipler deals with this, and we'll try to see. We'll go through that. But the Stipler adds another question. His dealing with the case that we mentioned first. The case that we mentioned, again, was the guy who had a sickness, and the doctors removed his left testicle, and we paskin a shas adchak, that he is permitted love of a kol. And the question is, would he have to inform his prospective shidduch or not? So, says the Stipler, he would ask it even further. Not only should there be ona and geneva das, but it could even be a mekaktos, a complete mekaktos. Mekaktos, we know if a person sells you something and it turns out not to be that which you were expecting to buy, so it could cancel the whole sale, because that's not what I expected to buy. So, the Pesachei Tshuva brings, the Choshen Mishpat from the Chasam Sofer, he says the following. What happens if you have some meat, which the pshak is that we're makel behefted merubah? You know, in Europe, every shayl on the cow is a hefted merubah. I heard in a heshbit from a Talmud Rav Gusman. Rav Gusman was on the Bezdin of Rav Chaim Ozer. Right? Rav Chaim Ozer, his directive to his Bezdin is that if a butcher brings a cow for a psak, you're not allowed to be makar, you're only allowed to be makar. You're not allowed to pass in the hasmer. If you can't find a kula, you have to bump it up to me. But you're not allowed to say the words asr. Because it was 6 months barnasi. He bought a cow. If it's treif, he's finished. He's dead. It's a shas al kach. So this, Rav Guzman said over what it means to be a gadol ador, the siyasa d'shmaya, they have him psak. He said they had a shayl on a cow. For 3 days they broke their head. And we're dealing with Rav Guzman, we're talking about gadol yom. They're not people who didn't know what it said in the books. So Rav Guzman and the Bezdin broke their heads for 3 days. They pumped it up to Rav Chaim Ozer, and when they came to him with the shayl, Rav Chaim Ozer was leaning on a bookcase like this. And they asked him the shayla. He didn't turn around. He pulled a sefer off the shelf. He opened it up, and on the page he opened to, he said, okay, it's mutter. He found a heter. That's what it means, the shayla d'shmaya of a gadol ador. That's what he said. So, we mastered the meat. But the Chasam Sofer says, that's all the gabe, the owner of the cow. But the gabe, the customers. So you have to tell them. And if you don't tell them, it could be a mekaktos, because they don't want to eat meat which is only mutter behefted merubah. So now the question is, how are you ever going to be able to unload the cow? That's a good question. But they want to eat lechachila meat. They want to eat glatt kosher, lemahajim, and lemahajim with every hechsher in the world. And they would not want to eat meat which is only mutter behefted merubah. So you have to have to merubah, but you have to inform us. And says the Chasam Sofer, it's a question of mekartos. See here also, if you have a guy who is only mutter love of a kahal, b'shas adchak, his left testicle was cut out. And because it's such a shas adchak, we'll be makel to let him marry into the kahal. But l'chora, it's the same shaylah. Meat, you have to inform them, if it's mutter for you, behefted merubah, but that doesn't mean that they have to get involved here as well. You're permitted love of a kol b'shas adchak, but the one that you want to marry should be informed. Maybe they don't want to marry you. L'chora, it should be a shayla of mekaktos.
What's wrong with finding out who the guy is? Huh? Especially when they didn't check any references before. The guy shows up in town and says, okay, I'll marry you.
You're talking about the Gemara?
Ask who his parents are, ask something about him.
I'll tell you about my wife is one of 13. My first two brother-in-laws are about 6'6", 6'7", 252. They're big guys. So my first sister-in-law, this is what I was told, I married the 11th. But my first sister-in-law got married to a classmate of theirs, he's about 5'7", 140. He's a gavra. He's a gavra, but he's half their size. So my oldest brother-in-law got up at the Sheva Brachas and he said, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the well and he sees that the daughters of Yisro, that the people are not letting them draw water because Yisro was going off the Darach by them. And so he helps them out and he draws the water for them. And they come home earlier than they normally did. And Yisro says, why is today different than any other day? So they said, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad Haroim Begam Dalo Dalalanu Ve'ashka Satzon. Some Egyptian guy drew water for us, and he gave water to the sheep as well. So Chazal said, Yisro said to them, well, get, what's with you? Go back and get him and marry him. Get him. This is a Gevalah Geshirach. So he asked Rakasha. He said, my Shver has six sons and seven daughters. So he says, what kind of father is this? You just say, marry a guy, you don't know who he is, Ish Mitzri. Teretz is, when you have seven daughters, you take anyone you can. Anyway, so says the stipler, a chiddush niflum. Says the stipler that the Rambam writes in Hilchas Ishus, let's say, a chayve essay. There's an isra essay to marry such a person. So the guy didn't realize that she is an isra essay. Lo hikrba. She gets a ksuba. The kiddushin is a kiddushin, and we don't say mekach tos. So says the stifler, certainly over here, where he's mutter, love of a kal, and Moshit is holy, he's permitted, and therefore we permit him, certainly that's even better than chaviyatit. Chaviyatit, where everyone agrees it's forbidden. Yet we say, despite the fact that you didn't know, it's still a kiddushin, and we don't say it's mekach tos, so certainly over here. Now we have to explain that in a second. So that's his kav chomer. Why is that different than the case of the chasam sofer? So listen to this. A davar pella. Says the stifler, in the case of the chasam sofer, you have a steak. And if it's a choice between a steak, which is mutter b'shas al-chak, and a steak, which is mahadrin min a mahadrin, it's got every hechsher in the world. So you say, for sure, give me the steak, which is mahadrin min a mahadrin. There's no reason for me to take a steak, which is shas al-chak. So that's the mekach tos. But over here, says the stipler, when it comes to shiduchim, which is so difficult to find a shidduch, so if you find a guy a shidduch, even if it is a, it turns out not to be a perfect specimen, but you have finally found your mate, and now they say to you, by the way, your mate is imperfect. They tell you that your mate, his left testicle was cut out. But now you've married him, and he's a good husband. You wouldn't say over there, oh, all things being equal, let me trade this one in and get a different model. That's not how it is. But by a piece of meat, you could say that. That if something's only about the Rishon LeZakeh, why should I take this one when I can take the other one? But when it comes to Shiduchim, where you finally found someone that you fit with, so we wouldn't say that the person would say, well, then get rid of him. I'd rather get something which is Murtel LeChachila. And therefore, it's not a Mekach Tos. The question I have on the cipher is, that's very nice, the Gabe, the case that he's dealing with. But the Gabe, the case of the Rambam, he's learning it from the Rambam. You married a girl who turns out to be a Chavi Yaseh. You're madly in love with her. She's perfect for you. She's the most gorgeous, greatest Sanua, everything that you ever thought about. That's the stipler himself. We would go up to the stipler and say, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, after the fact, now that they told you she's a Chavi Yaseh, what would you say? He would say, yeah, she's amazing, but there's an Isser here. It's partially, he would kick around on the spot. There's no way he would stay with her for a second. So I don't know how this is going to explain the Rambam. This is going to explain someone who, it's Mutter, B'Shas HaKach, so I'll stay with him. But how is that going to explain the Rambam? There's no way in the world that anyone with any Yirah Shamayim would stay with such a person that you would say, well, once I have her, I might as well keep her, even though she's not a perfect person. But she's Usser. So how would that explain the Rambam that it's still a good Kiddushin, even though she was forbidden? Yeah. Right.
I mean, to me, I don't know why that case works, like you said, because, okay.
But he's learning from the case of the Rambam.
Right, but that's the only case that, to me, that works, because, okay, post-fact
by what? By the case of the testicle?
Yeah.
So I'm agreeing with you. Right. I hear his svara by the testicle, but to learn it from the Rambam.
Or an issue or some other type of.
By an issue, how could you say such a thing? Okay, fine. But he's learning it from the Rambam. You see from the Rambam that despite the fact that there's an Isser here, but Apathichain, we see such a Svara that by Shiduchim you won't say Mekach Tos, because it's so difficult to find a Shiduch, and once you have him, you'll stay. But in Isser, you'll never say such a thing. Who with any of your Shemayim would do such a thing?
So can
So he's, the Steibler is saying that when it comes to,
right.
when it comes to Shiduchim,
do you never say it?
Well, let's say, right, part of the piece is, by essay, which is an Isser kill, it's a lighter Isser, then we won't say it. If it's a lav, or if it's lav, we might say it. It's hard to know. It's hard to know the exact gradation, but he's just making a kal v'chomer. If by an Isser essay we say it, then certainly by someone who is mutter v'kal, b'shat al-kak, which is less of an Isser than an Isser essay. That's his kal v'chomer. What the cutoff point will be, that's not clear, but he's saying it's a kal v'chomer. If in the case of the Rambam, we say that it's not a mekaf tos, then certainly in the case of someone who, according to most poskim, and with somech on them, b'shat al-kak, is permitted love of a call, certainly it wouldn't be a mecca of toast.
The Rambam is saying, what is an
Isra? Let's say you have a lady who is forbidden to you with an Isra essay. No, right? There's an Isra essay on her, but you didn't know she was forbidden. And now you find out. Do we say it's a mecca of toast? Says the Rambam, no, you have to give her a ksuba. It's a marriage. It's not a mecca of toast. So the disciple makes a what?
He says to stay married to her or not?
No, you'll have to get rid of her. It's not a mecca of toast. You're not allowed to say marriage, it's not a mecca of toast. Why is it not a mecca of toast? Because you could say that once you found her, you're happy that to have had married her. You're happy
you're
that
you're not allowed to be with her?
Well, you're not allowed to stay with an Isser essay.
Right, so how does that make sense? How is that not a mecca of toast?
You mean anyway, Mikana Lava, you're not gonna be able to stay with her anyway. What are you gaining?
You can't stay married.
What are you gaining with her?
Yeah, how is that possibly a benefit? Just
yeah, I hear maybe the time in between. You're right. Yeah, so what's the chat around? But to look, so you have to, I would have said it's something limited to the Rambam, whatever the Teretz is going to be, and I don't know what the Teretz is going to be. But to learn a Yesod from the Rambam is going to be very difficult. But be that as it may, the Steibler wants to say that there's no Mekach Tos, because when it comes to Shiduchim, it's not like, if you give me, of course, why would I take that if I can get something, a piece of steak, which has no questions on it? When it comes to Shiduchim, it's not like that. Now listen to this, John. Says the Steibler, okay, that's good, the Gabi Mekaktos, post facto. But what about before the fact? What right do you have to withhold the information? It should be Gnevas Das. It should be Ona, you're cheating the guy. So even if it's not Mavata the Mekach, it's still Gnevas Das. So he says, but we see from the Gemara Yavamis that we're not concerned by Shiduchim with the Gnevas Das and Ona. We told the guy to go hide and not say that his father was a guy.
That's not a clear proof.
It's not Masala like that. Zil Itmar, go and hide. And Rashi says, if you tell them, they'll never give you a girl.
Right. So I'm saying, like, to me, the girl.
Well,
that doesn't mean that you don't.
That's an assumption that they dated more than one time. It's probably in the Tanakh Gemara, they're more Hasidish. That's the truth. We're more complicated, but I don't think it was that long. That poskim were all assuming that you did not say. So what's the pshat? You see from that it's mutter. So listen to a chiddush of this type. Says the Steibler, what is the difference between Mekach Tos, where even after the fact, it's Mevata, the whole thing, and Gnevas Das, where before the fact, you have to say, but after the fact, it's not Mevata. Says Mekach Tos is where, when you find out, you say, I don't want this, get rid of it, I want something else, I don't want this. That's Mekach Tos. Gnevas Das is where, after you have it, you say, you know, I'm not going to demand something else, but I would prefer something else. If you are willing to give me something else, so then for sure I'll take it. I prefer the other one. So it's not as extreme as Mekach Tos where you demand, no, I don't want this. But it's still something which you would prefer something else, just that not to the point that you would say, this is ridiculous, absolutely not, this is unacceptable. So says the Steibler, when it comes to Shiduchim, you don't even have that second level of Gnevas Das. If you have this case where she's married to this guy already who doesn't have his left testicle, and now you come up to her and you say, you know, he says, I didn't tell you, I'm sorry, my left testicle was cut out. So now, would she say, well, I'm not going to demand a divorce, but I really prefer a different specimen? No. Mistama, once she married him and she developed a relationship with him, so then she would not ask for a different specimen. She would say, let me stay with him. And therefore, says the Steibler, that's even better than the case of Gnevas Das. And therefore, Therefore, it's not Mechalos for sure, and it's not even the case of Gneivas Das, because Gneivas Das is only where, after the fact, they would say, well, I'd still prefer to have a different one. But here, after the fact, they wouldn't even want to have a different one, and therefore, that's the jump over here. Therefore, says the stipe. So that's the big jump over here. Says the stipe. You don't have to tell them at the beginning, because after the fact, we can assume that she'll be happy. That's a very big jump. Before the fact, they would like to know. Before the fact, they would probably say, I don't want to get involved. But you're allowed to say, because after the fact, they'll be happy. Therefore, before the fact, I can put her in a situation that she would have preferred not to get involved. That's a very, very big jump.
Well, aren't these, both in the case of the testicle and the case of our Gemara,
yeah,
these are things which, if she never knew about it, she would never have found out, she would never know, it would have absolutely no effect on her life. In fact, you could almost say that telling her later is a mistake, because now all you've done is you've upset her, and there's enough to me. There's enough you're telling me. Ever going to come up? I mean, assuming that the guy can procreate like anyone else.
Right.
So all it does is you're telling him, well, by the way, there's a flaw which has no enough to me. But if it would be something that like comes up later, like, by the way, he has a heart defect, and the guy drops dead at the time,
right,
then you could say, well, wait a second.
So you're saying a different terrace, which we might get to. You're saying it's only by this case where it really doesn't have an opkamina. But the Sabbath is saying a more general thing, where he's saying that since after the fact she would say, no, I like to stay with him. So even before the fact, you're allowed to set up the situation where after the fact she'll be happy. Even though at the beginning she would say, I don't want to get involved, which is a tremendous, tremendous kiddush. Then the Sabbath says, and it could be, that since maybe the whole issur of Gneivas Das, Minat Torah, is only when you proactively cheat somebody, but if you just withhold information, it's only through Rabbanan. And in this situation, where this guy will never get married, so they were Mekel and they weren't Gozer. That's what he wants to suggest, and therefore he would say Halacha L'Maisa by the guy who has his left testicle cut out. He would not have to be Megala, because of this Gemara in Yevamos, whatever the Cheshbon is, either because his first Cheshbon is not Mekatos, it's not Gneivas Das because of what we said, or because the whole list of Gneivas Das, when you don't actively cheat somebody, or you don't actively delude them, but rather you just withhold the permission, it's only Drabbanan, and in a case where a guy will never get married, they were Mekel. Now,
how far would you be able to take that? If they ask them, could he lie?
Well, then he's already, they're probably not. It's only because he didn't say anything, he didn't do anything. Now, in Nishmas Avram is Dr. Abraham. Dr. Abraham was the head of Shari Tzedek Hospital, very close to Rosh Shlomo Zalman. He wrote a whole encyclopedia of Halacha on, he went through Shulchan Aruch, and anything which was Nogea to medical shaylos, he wrote on. So, in Nishmas Avram, he brings from Rabbi Yashiv disagreed with this psak of the stipler. He said that the Gemara in Yevamos does not arise in the case of the stipler, and because of the following reason. And that is, Rabbi Yehuda held mutter. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda holds mutter, why can't this guy get a shidduch? Why can't he get a shidduch? Rabbi Yehuda holds mutter. Teretz is, that as we all know, that even if there are certain things where people are very machmoran, even though they heard it from their grandmother, who knows who they heard it from, it has no halakhic basis, and it's based on nothing. So, says the Rabbi Yashiv, the pshat in the Gemara over there is that their whole hakada is based on a toast. When your whole hakada is based on a toast, and Rabbi Yehuda held it was a toast, so there, I'm able to delude them into doing that which they should do anyway. It's all a toast. There's no real reason to be makbid. Masha enkein in the case of the testicle, even if it's permitted lahalacha, but forget about halacha. It's legitimate for a person not to want to marry a person with a defect like that. If I don't want to marry a girl with a crooked nose, what, I'm a crazy man. That's a toast. I'm not interested in having a person with a crooked nose. So who I did? She could legitimately not be interested in marrying a guy, even if it's permitted bakal, and even if you can have kids. I don't want to marry a guy without a testicle. Why? I like men with two testicles. Whatever the reason is, it's not crazy. It's not a toast. And therefore, you have no raya to our case of the of the man who doesn't have his testicles cut out.
I don't see the difference in
Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv is saying,
assuming they know that everything can be part of one testicle, what's the difference between one testicle and the guy?
So I'm asking you, if a guy has a physical defect,
it's not a physical defect, because you know,
let me phrase my question like this. Would it surprise you? A total atheist doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in anything, doesn't care less about halacha. Would it be so wild to you if a girl who had no interest in halacha, no interest in anything else, would say, I'm just uncomfortable to marry a guy with one testicle? Would you say that that's I could hear most girls would probably say that. You say it's nuts. It's not nuts. I could hear most of the world would say that. I hear it's quite normal.
But I can hear a girl say the same thing. I don't want a father-in-law who's not whatever.
So that's an interesting thing. Why he's not bothered by that? That I hear that. All right. I don't want a father-in-law as a guy because it's bad for the children. I hear that. Why he's not dealing with that issue? That's a good question. I was bothered by that question as well. But he brings over there Rav Neuwirth, who was the author of the Shmir Shalosky Helkasa. So he says that no, there is a pagam. There is a pagam, not to the point of being usher bakal, but there is a pagam in a person whose father is a guy. Because just like we saw when it comes to a Ben Hanida, there's some kind of spiritual pollution in the person who came from this union of Anita with when she was Anita. So there's also some kind of spiritual pollution in a person whose father is a guy. And what is that spiritual pollution? The Maseches Kala says that, as we said a couple weeks ago, there's a teva, midas rosh, and there is a pagam. So, says Rav Neuwirth, listen to this. We mentioned a couple weeks ago, Rav Moshe, the stifler, they say that if you see a Ben Nida who has good midos, so then we say that he learned, he worked on himself, just like people could be born with a tendency towards a bad midah but overcome it, Hilchos Deos, the whole beginning of Hilchos Deos. So who has in a Ben Nida? He starts off on the wrong foot, but he's able to overcome it. And if you see he's a Baal Nida, so then that means he overcame it. So, says Rav Neuwirth, you know what's going on over here? He has a pagam. His pagam is that he's the son of a guy, and it's legitimate that people wouldn't want to marry him. Putting aside your tana, you still have your tana, but you have that tana. However, the reason why he doesn't have to inform his prospective shidduch of it is because he'll overcome it, and it won't be an issue. The whole reason why not to marry him is because of the pagam that he has. But he'll fix it up, and Mamela, it won't be an issue, and therefore I don't have to inform her of it. Now, let's flush this out. First of all, it's an ukimta to say that we're talking about a guy who is holding and learning. It doesn't say in the Gemara that we're talking about a guy who is working on himself, and it just said, go to a place where they don't know you. But the chiddush over here is, he's saying, let's say I have a hakpada, but there's a reason behind the hakpada. So I am permitted to get you to take this thing, even though I know you're makbid on it, because the reason behind it, I'll take care of the reason behind it. And that's not going to even stop. I'll flesh out the point. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, the following tshuva. Let's say there's a guy who is getting older, his hair is graying, his beard is graying, and he wants to get a job. But he knows that they only want to hire young guys because they think that young guys are more ambitious, will work harder, will fight for the company, but the older guys are already over and butthole, they don't really care, they just want to collect the paycheck. So the shaila was, can I dye my hair so I'll look younger? That was the shaila. So this is a twofold shaila. One is it an isser of Yilbash Geber Simlasisha? You're not allowed to dye your hair. So this is an old shaila which happened in Europe 100 years ago, where there was a rav, a young rav, he woke up one morning, half his beard was black and half his beard was white. So now the shaila was, can he dye his beard black? Is he allowed to shave his beard? All the different possibilities. So there was a machlokes. Some said, that's not lo yilbash, because lo yilbash is only for beautification purposes. He's not doing it for beautification purposes. He's doing it so he shouldn't look like a freak. But he's not doing it for beautification purposes, therefore it's permitted. So Rav Moshe goes with that, and Rav Moshe says, Since his intent is not because he wants to be beautiful, he just wants to get a job, so it wouldn't be lo yilvash. Says Rav Moshe, if you know that you could do the same job that a young guy could do, then you're allowed to do it. It's not an issue of Geneva's death. Now, that's, it's a little bit surprising because the guy's no gay b'davra. To tell the guy, if you know you could do as good a job, of course he's going to say he wants to get a job. So to leave it in the hands of the prospective employee is a little bit peculiar to me.
But they're
not going to
have
to
use
anyone. Oh, so 1 second.
So Rabbi.
No. So listen. So you know. Let's say they don't ask for the date of birth. They don't ask for the date of birth. You know that they're mocked on your age. You know that they're mocked on your age, but you see for Amisha, you're allowed to read into why they're mocked on your age, and since you're saying the reason why they're mocked on your age, because they think you can't do the job of a young guy, if you know you could do the job of a young guy, even though they're mocked on the young guy, you can go with the reason behind it. That's what the Rav Neuber is saying over here. They're mocked on not marrying someone whose father is a guy, but what's the reason they're mocked? Because they're assuming he's pagan, but if you know you're not pagan because you learned Torah and so on and so forth, even though had they known your father's a guy, they wouldn't buy that. But you know that you are good, so you're allowed to read into the reason behind their hakpada, and it's not Geneva's Dals. So now, lechor there's a steer in Ramesh, because Ramesh has another tshuva about the regents, cheating on the regents. It's a pella. The whole tshuva is a pella because he says people are saying that Yeshiva Bacham are cheating on the regents. And Ramesh says it's for sure anti-Semites, they hate Kai, so they hate Torah, because I don't believe any Yeshiva Bacham would cheat on the regents. Halavai. So they asked Ramesh, Mutar Asr. He said, I don't believe they do it. But he says it's three Yisur Derais. He said, it's Sheker. Because Yeshiva the Gemara Bamitzia, you're only allowed to be Mishana for three things, but you're not allowed to be Mishana for other things. It's Gneva's Das, because you're giving off the impression that you know the information and you're right to get this mark, and you're not. And it's Gneva's Mammon. It's actual Gneva's Mammon. Why is it Gneva's Mammon? Because your employer is going to look at your records and it's going to say, high school diploma? Yes, high school diploma. And your high school diploma was, you got it, if you really didn't deserve it, because you really should have failed the regents. So he's going to think...
Why is that a
steer? 1 second. He's going to think that you really got a legitimate high school diploma. Now, I would say nowadays probably he would know you cheated on the regents. But he's going to think that you got a legitimate high school diploma. I didn't get to the steer yet. He's going to think that... Well, let me get to the steer. I didn't get to it. He's going to think that you got a legitimate high school diploma, and he'll give you the job because of that, and he'll pay you, so he's going to have his mama. Then says Ramosha, and even if you say that the high school diploma, what does it mean anyway? That you're a capable guy. What do you mean I'm a yeshiva guy? I'm much smarter than these guys. I can do a better job than every guy with a high school diploma. And I can for sure be the greatest employee in the world. The high school diploma doesn't make any difference. But says Ramosha, that doesn't matter. You can't read into that. He's marking a high school diploma. If he's marking a high school diploma, that's it. So, that's the theory.
No, but it's not.
Why? Right, but Ramesha said he wants a young guy. But if you can read into the reason why he wants a young guy, then you're allowed to go ahead and give off the impression of a young guy, even though you're not. Here also, he wants a high school diploma. Why does he want a high school diploma? Because you could do the job.
But you never qualified to have a high school diploma.
Good, but the whole reason why it's a high school diploma is because he wants a competent worker. And you know that you're a competent worker. Lechora, according to what Ramesha said, you should be able to give off the impression that you have a high school diploma despite the fact that you don't. Just like there, you can give off the impression that you are a young guy even though you're not. You don't hear that?
No, but that's right.
What? What is
that, you know, that age isn't necessarily connected to your ability to perform or be ambitious. Whereas over
it
here,
is irrational. I think it's rational. You don't burn it.
If you can pass it, it's different than you didn't qualify. Right? One person is like, okay, he's at the gate, he has the requirements for the job. The other
right.
person, right? I don't know. I understand that he thinks he didn't have a high school diploma, but at the end of the day, he has this predominant high school diploma.
But who cares? Who needs a high school diploma? The guy is going to do something which has nothing to do with algebra, trigonometry, biology. It's irrelevant. The whole reason why it's a high school diploma is because this guy is confident he can get a high school diploma. No. I know I'm confident. I know Baba Kama, Baba Zia, Baba Basra, and all the Taisis much more than any high school diploma.
A certain thing. And you did it.
But again, why does he want the high school diploma? It says Ramayja. I agree with you. He wants the high school diploma because it shows confidence. And you are confident with that. It doesn't matter because he wants a high school diploma. So how does that work? So I asked this question to my Rebbe, and I had Rebbe Tzvi Berkowitz, and I had someone ask Rebbe Ruben Feinstein this kasha, and they both answered the same terrace. And that is, it all depends. It depends whether he writes beferish, this is what I want, or you know that's what he wants, he never spoke it out, so then you're allowed to preempt. So as we said, when it comes to the age, you're not allowed to write. You must be below this age. So there, even though you know that you better look young because or else he's not going to take you, but he never said to Farish that he wants a young guy. So then you can read into as to why he wants a young guy because he never said to Farish he wants. Masha Ankin, in the case of the high school diploma where he writes on it, high school diploma, he says, you must have a high school diploma, you can't read into it. And the Mela, that's what Rav Neubert's saying over here. They don't say to Farish that we don't want a guy whose father's a guy. So then you could not say anything, and you can do it. Now, two final things. Then I found, yes.
He doesn't care about the high school diploma.
What?
He doesn't care about the high school diploma. Because he says,
but once he says high school diploma, then you have to follow. So now, I saw Mega Givah Solom. You know what Mega Givah Solom is? You know who Rav Michal Shurkin is? Yeah? Rav Michal Shurkin was a Talmud Rav Moshe. He spent 25 years in Baruch Soloveitchik. Yeah, from Taurus Moshe. He held while he was Osher Ba'anai. He didn't even use the toilets for 25 years. No, he was really, when I was in YU, I was in Rabbi Trisky, we didn't know the issue, we didn't know anything. We know that if you're a right winger, you go to Kambiavna, if you're a centrist, you go to Shalvim, and if you're a left winger, you go to the Gush. Among the best guys. You know, that's how it always was. We didn't know that there was any issues. So one day, Rabbi Meiselman and Rabbi Michal Shurkin walk in, and they come into Rabbi Trisky's shir. And Rav Michal Shurkin walks in, he starts off, he says, there's kvira here, and if you don't punch your professor in the nose, you're a dog. That's how he starts off. And then he says, there's a tshuva in Rav Moshe to the boys in Israel about going to Loyola, which was a Catholic university, and at that time, you have to get up for the cross. So how could they go if they have to get up for the cross? So he told them, don't sit down, keep your coat on, and you'll already be up, and then, so it won't, it'll look like you didn't get up, you just walked in, so you'll be somewhere. So Rav Michal Shurkin says, doesn't this sound like a terrible heder? It's such a forced heder. Why didn't he say a better heder? You should go to YU. No. Because it's Kvira here, if you're a party president. So he's a character. He's a big character, even though he was there for 25 years. Anyway, so he has his storybook, Mega Givah Solom, Meisim with all these different gedolim. And he says they asked the Shaila, a Ben Nida, they asked Rav Moshe, do I have to be Megala when it comes to Shiduchim? Do I have to? So Rav Moshe says, I don't know the Pshat, but there's a Gemara in Yevamos which says that you go hide and you don't have to say. So you see that you don't have to say. But the final knesh here is, the Tzitzeliezer says, he has all these kashas, he says it can't be. It cannot be, it's Ganevas Das, it's Ona, it's us. So what's the Pshat? What's the Pshat in the Gemara? The Pshat in the Gemara is that Rabbi Huda was trying to spread this Pshat, that if the father is a guy, the kid is kosher. So even though in technical halakha, if a person is makbid and they don't want to marry you, you should have to tell them it's Ona, it's Ganevas Das. But a hara asha, they made a hara asha, a temporary psak, in order to strengthen the psak of Rabbi Yehuda, so that it should be clear in Klal Yisrael that the kid is kosher. They temporarily put aside those halachas that you really should have to inform the person. But the dore doris, you mechuyev to go ahead and tell. So what you have here, you have these extremes. You have those who are saying that it's limited to this case. You have those things that's not even in this case, the Tzitzeliezer. And then you have the Stifler who's taking a rule from here He's really widening it to many cases when it comes to shiduchim, that since after the fact a person would say, I want to stay with him, and therefore you don't have to be megal. But of course, these shailas are ma'isim b'chol yom. It's not easy for any rav to paskin. You know, they usually tell you, you have to tell them where it's a little enough in that they give you a chance, but not to the point that they're too emotionally attached. It's a very, very, not an easy thing to paskin. Okay, Scott.
Good. Of course, that's the silly answer. If you want the point is to broadcast it, then you're not telling anybody, then how are you really helping, you know, make that halacha that everyone's aware of?
Because they broadcast the halacha.